Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Daniel Rosehill, based in Jerusalem, reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Thursday, the 21st of May, 2026, at 1913 Israel time, 1613 UTC. Khamenei bars uranium transfer as Iran rebuilds military and Hezbollah strikes South Lebanon, May 21st, 1613 UTC, 1913 Israel, evening edition. Bottom line up front, Iran's supreme leader has ordered that the country's near weapons-grade enriched uranium stockpile must remain in Iran, directly countering a key US and Israeli demand for any peace deal. The directive, reported by Iranian sources to Reuters, challenges assurances President Trump reportedly gave Israel that the material would leave the country. Oil markets reacted immediately, with WTI climbing 4% to nearly 102 and Brent jumping over $3. Meanwhile, US intelligence now assesses that Iran is rebuilding its military capabilities faster than expected during the ceasefire, resuming drone production with Chinese and Russian assistance. In southern Lebanon, Hezbollah continued attacks on Israeli forces with drones and missiles. While Israel deported all 430 foreign activists from the intercepted Gaza flotilla amid international condemnation of a video showing National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir taunting detainees. Now, turning to the regional sections. In Iran, beyond the uranium order, US intelligence agencies assess that the IRGC's military reconstitution is proceeding at a pace that has surprised officials. Parts of Iran's drone production have resumed during the six-week ceasefire that began in early April, with Chinese and Russian help exceeding recovery timelines. On the diplomatic track, Pakistani Interior Minister Mohsin Naqvi met with Iran's foreign minister and president in Tehran to facilitate indirect US-Iran negotiations. Iran's foreign ministry confirmed it has received the latest US position and is reviewing it, while stating its conditions include an end to the war on all fronts, release of frozen assets, and an end to the naval blockade. Mediators are reportedly finalizing an agenda for resumed talks, which could come as early as next week. At the Strait of Hormuz, the IRGC Navy claimed 31 vessels transited in the past 24 hours, though independent monitoring recorded zero transits, noting the 7-day average is just 2% of pre-war levels. The Persian Gulf Strait Authority published an official map and stated that 30 ships were issued transit permits after paying tolls. Elsewhere, President Pezeshkian dismissed US threats as an illusion and vowed full support for the armed forces, while Iran's UN ambassador called on the Security Council to break its silence on US threats and war crimes. Russia expressed readiness to assist both sides on the enriched uranium issue. In Lebanon, Hezbollah claimed a series of attacks on Israeli forces. The group said fighters targeted a gathering of vehicles and soldiers in Rashaf with a swarm of Ababil loitering drones, and struck an engineering vehicle in Deir Sarian with a drone achieving a confirmed hit. Earlier statements described heavy missile salvos and an attack drone targeting an Iron Dome platform in the Shomara settlement. Israeli aircraft carried out a strike on Al-Manzouri in southern Lebanon, and sirens sounded in Misgav Am due to a suspected hostile aircraft infiltration. The IDF said contact was lost with the target and no injuries were reported. The Lebanese Health Ministry updated the cumulative toll of Israeli operations since March 2nd to 3,089 killed and nearly 9,400 injured. Lebanon's finance minister told Reuters the economy is expected to contract by 7 to 10% this year, with damages estimated at up to $20 billion. Hezbollah MP Hassan Azzedine said ongoing Israeli attacks require a shift in the approach to direct negotiations, citing the recent Deir Kanunel Al-Nar massacre that killed 13 civilians. the Lebanese government announced the removal of fixed structures on the Beirut seafront to prevent permanent settlement. In Gaza, the IDF said troops in the north identified and eliminated a terrorist who crossed the yellow line and approached forces posing an immediate threat. Earlier this week, a Hamas Nukba terrorist was eliminated in central Gaza. The IDF emphasized forces remain deployed in accordance with the ceasefire agreement. Separately, a Palestinian woman was killed by Israeli drone fire in western Deir al-Bala. On the flotilla front, Israel completed the deportation of all 430 foreign activists from the Sumud vessel, with Turkey sending planes to collect deportees. The fallout from the Ben-Gur video continued. The UK summoned the Israeli diplomat. France deported 37 nationals. Poland's foreign minister said he would seek to ban Ben-Gavir from entering the country, and Italy asked the EU for sanctions. The UN Security Council also convened to debate stalled progress in Gaza, with briefings focused on governance and recovery. In the West Bank, the IDF and border police thwarted an attempt to smuggle 26 handguns and munitions across the eastern border overnight. In Hebron, soldiers apprehended three terrorists affiliated with a Hamas-linked network planning an imminent shooting attack, and an additional terrorist was arrested in Deir al-Ghusn for efforts to establish a network. Israeli forces shot and detained a Palestinian in Huwara, and 76-year-old detainee Mohammed Abu Ter was released after 6 months in poor health, having spent 44 years in Israeli custody. The US is reportedly threatening to revoke visas of the Palestinian delegation to the UN unless the Palestinian ambassador withdraws his candidacy for vice president of the General Assembly. On the multilateral track, Pakistan continued its intermediary role, with its interior minister meeting Iranian leaders in Tehran. The Pakistani foreign ministry stated it is exerting all efforts to bring Washington and Tehran together. The UN Security Council held its Gaza session, while Iran's UN ambassador urged the council to break its silence on US threats. On US naval posture, the acting secretary of the Navy said, "Carriers Lincoln, Bush, and Tripoli are in the Arabian Sea to protect commercial shipping, and the USS Theodore Roosevelt has completed integration of F-35C Lightning IIs and is expected to replace the Lincoln in operations against Iran." Moving to the analysis, first the trend. The tempo of escalation is flattening, but the underlying military posture is hardening. Over the past 7 days, Hezbollah attacks have shifted from high-impact strikes on IDF commanders to a sustained lower-intensity drone and missile campaign. While Iran's nuclear defiance and military reconstitution signal longer-term preparation rather than an imminent breakout, the ceasefire holds tactically, but strategically both sides are arming for a potential next round. On the information environment, Iran is pushing a dual narrative, diplomatic openness through Pakistani mediation, while publicly hardening its nuclear stance. The US and Israel are framing Khamenei's order as a deal breaker, but the gap lies in whether this is a genuine red line or a negotiating tactic. Hezbollah's media emphasizes successful drone strikes to project resilience, while Israel focuses on operational successes and the flotilla deportations. The Ben-Gur video has given critics a powerful tool to frame Israel as abusive, overshadowing the flotilla's original purpose and the synthesis. Khamenei's uranium directive is less a rejection of talks than a strategic move to force the US to accept a deal on Iran's terms, betting that Washington's appetite for war is lower than Tehran's tolerance for economic pain. The rapid military rebuilding, aided by China and Russia, suggests Iran is preparing for a protracted standoff. A counter reading is that this is a genuine walk back from negotiations, risking a US or Israeli strike. However, the continued mediation efforts and Iran's review of the US proposal indicate the door remains open, making this a high-stakes game of chicken where both sides are raising the stakes
to extract maximum concessions.
And to wrap up, the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions watch for Sentinel. One SAR imagery of the Strait of Hormuz to verify IRGC claims of 31 vessel transits against independent monitoring showing zero. Monitor flight radar 24 for any Iranian military cargo flights between Tehran and Damascus or Beirut, indicating accelerated resupply. And review the Telegram channel TLDR Iran Airstrip for updated daily transit counts and satellite imagery of Iranian drone production facilities near Kashan. Through the status quo lens, within 48 hours, Hezbollah will claim at least one more drone strike on IDF positions in southern Lebanon, but no Israeli fatalities will be reported. Before the end of the week, the US and Iran will announce a date for resumed indirect talks, likely in a Gulf state, and the Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through the next 72 hours with no resumption of direct kinetic exchange. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens. Within 24 hours, Israel will conduct a targeted strike on a Hezbollah drone launch site in southern Lebanon in retaliation for the Rashaf attack, causing at least 5 Hezbollah casualties with low confidence. By Friday, Iran will announce it has enriched uranium to 90% purity, crossing the weapons-grade threshold with low confidence. And within 72 hours, a commercial vessel will be attacked in the Strait of Hormuz, blamed on IRGC speedboats, causing a spike in oil prices above $110 with low confidence. That concludes this site wrap. For more, visit sitrubisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_sitraps. This is Daniel Rosehill signing off from Jerusalem.